This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. How do we deal with all the big, terrifying things in the news every day? The things that we as individuals don't have a lot of control over. We've been talking about nuclear war, and we recently talked on the show about the new climate change report that predicts a really scary future for all of us and for our kids and our grandkids. We're now 2 years into a global pandemic that has killed at least 6 million people worldwide and caused widespread sickness and social turmoil. And the threat of political violence in the United States after the January 6th, 2021 insurrection is just as present now as it was then. It's just plain hard sometimes being plugged into the daily news cycle. You can feel really frightened, but you can also feel really helpless. And although I think we all know we can do our small part to react to these things and try to think them through, none of us as individuals can single-handedly change the course of any of these issues. So how should we be coping with these realities? That's where we want to continue the conversation here on Detroit Today. And we've got a really wonderful guest with us to help us think that through. Dr. Kristen Harrison is a University of Michigan professor and media psychologist. Dr. Harrison, welcome to Detroit Today.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
So how do you think of all these big looming issues that are affecting us in so many different ways, but especially seem to be affecting people's mental health right now? I can't go 6 hours on social media right now without seeing somebody really express a level of desperation I'm not used to seeing about just reading the news or watching the news. What do you make of all of these things that we're dealing with?
Well, I am a media psychologist, and so my work really focuses around media and the impact of media in human life. So as you mentioned, so many of the things that are upsetting today, we learn about through the media. You know, for example, the war in Ukraine, the pandemic. I just heard this morning while I was on my treadmill watching the news about some new spider that's coming up from Georgia, and it's black and yellow and 3 inches long. So I apologize
that.
To your I apologize to your listeners if I just scared them. But the point is, with fright, my collaborator Joanne Cantor and I have done research on fright for over 20 years. And with fright, it's tricky because you do want to be vigilant enough to protect yourself and your family. But it's absolutely true that you can go overboard. And the important thing to remember is that we become good at what we practice. So if you're in constant vigilance mode with the media news on all the time, you are going to be practicing fear. And you don't want to become really good at practicing fear, because then, you know, anxious thoughts become automatic. So what we need to do is really be mindful about how we're structuring our days. And if you want to, pay attention to news, I have to pay attention to news because I teach about media. Mm-hmm. But what I do is I compartmentalize it. And so I watch the news for half an hour while I'm on the treadmill in the morning, and that's it. And if I need to find out more about a particular thing, you know, I will hop on the internet and go to a reliable source. But you have to know what is too much for you. It's like just like any diet, you know, think of media as a diet. A little bit of something is good for you, but too much of it is bad for you. You have to take the same approach.
So it's hard to do that. And we were talking earlier this week on the show, or last week, I think, about how hard it is, and that we live in an environment where there are these tools that these companies have that not only give us lots of information, but manipulate our brains in some ways to want more of it and to not be able to put it down. So what are some of the things you counsel people to do or say people should be thinking about doing to resist this? Look, I'm as guilty as anybody. I mean, I find it very hard to turn my eyes away from the things that come on my phone or the television screen. How are we supposed to cope with that part of it?
Well, one thing to do is remember that they are bidding for your attention with all of this. And so you have to ask, whom do you want to give your attention to? They want you. They profit from your attention. So number one, you get to be judicious about whom you give your attention to. I'm not going to say to you, shut off, you know, disengage from social media, turn off the TV, et cetera, because there is, I study children in media and everybody's afraid of the internet, but I'm a firm believer that the internet has far more opportunities than risks. The point is you have to be very selective and judicious. So, I wouldn't be able to get through the pandemic if it weren't for my friends who happen to be active on Facebook at 6 a.m. when I'm drinking my coffee, and Wordle, which everybody loved because it's, you know, this simple little game that we can do. And it's like, look what I did today, this little achievement, and funny memes. So these things have sort of kept me alive. But in between all of those things, we get the endless, you know, input, all of the things that we're supposed to be afraid of and the world's falling apart. And a lot of these things are true. These are things we should actually be concerned about and take efforts to protect ourselves around. But when you feel like it's too much, that's when you need to disengage. Like, let's say if you feel a lot of anxiety at night before bed and you can't sleep well, are you watching the news before bed? Don't watch the news before bed. In fact, don't do it anyway, because the blue light from the screen interrupts sleep. If you watch it in the morning and you can handle it better that way, then do it that way. So it really is something each individual needs to think about with respect to how they structure their day, but also be mindful of how your own fear might be getting passed on to your kids, because we have to, as all parents know, we have to make sure they have enough fear to stay away from the riskiest stuff, but not so much fear that they're afraid to, you know, go out and explore their worlds and live their lives.
I'm talking with Dr. Kristen Harrison, who is a University of Michigan professor and media psychologist. We're talking about how to cope with big, frightening things that we can't really control. We would love for you to be part of this conversation as well. Call and tell us how you're coping with all of these big, looming threats we keep hearing about in the daily news cycle. Do you feel like you're able to stay informed and empowered without feeling overwhelmed by things like the Russia-Ukraine war, climate change, or the pandemic? And call and tell us what things you're doing to try to protect your mental health. And especially call and tell us what kinds of things you're doing to try to protect the mental health of your kids. I think we all know that the things that we see and digest hit our kids differently and have a different effect on their mental state. How are you managing all of these things that could really be frightening for children? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Facebook or to Twitter and put comments there, and we can work you into the conversation. Let's go to Ken in Troy. Ken, what's on your mind?
I'm curious. I'd like to hear Dr. Harrison's take on this observation. It seems like two of the demographics that increasingly have time to be exposing themselves to social media and the mass media are retirees, which is a growing portion of the public and people who work from home. And I'm wondering what effect she thinks, you know, that social condition is having on the amount of stress we're seeing in the whole public.
Great question, Ken. Dr. Harrison?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ken. I think, I am one of those people. Being a professor, I'm now back in the classroom, but we sort of have a hybrid thing going here at Michigan with some of the classes online or some of the my discussion is online, but then my lecture's in person. And one of the things I've noticed, I talk to my students a lot about this, is it's very easy to let the world that is delivered to you through the media become your whole world if you're not getting out. We may not have all of the options that we had before to do things out of the home. And I know that, you know, some people who have disabilities, for example, may not be able to get out of their home. So I'm not saying this as an indictment of people who stay home. But you need a counter narrative to the narrative that you're getting. And so if the narrative you're getting all the time is the world is an extremely dangerous place, and you shouldn't go out into it because you could end up with this disease or, you know, whatever. That even if you can say, oh, well, I'm sure, you know, this is the media overdoing it. If you don't have a counter narrative, it gradually kind of seeps in and becomes your worldview. So one of the things I recommend to students is get outside. First of all, at this time of year, we all are low in vitamin D. So we all should be getting outside at least somewhat. But try to get outside, try to engage with the natural world, because the human world is where most of our misery is coming from, and what humans have done to the natural world. But this past year, I bought one of those little cameras that magnifies things 1,000 times. And I would go outside and pick, you know, flower buds and leaves, and I'd look at them up close. And it was the most amazing boost to my mental health, because it was a reminder that there's an entire world out there that we ignore, we don't even look at, but that world is still vital.
Wow, that's a really interesting idea, right? To look more closely at the small things that are around us instead of just kind of walking by them and not taking them in. That's great advice in and of itself. Again, Ken, I really appreciate the call and the question. Let's go next to Brad in Rochester Hills. Brad, welcome to the show.
Hey, Stephen, it's always good to hear from you every now and then. How I'm coping with this current crisis that's happening in between Russia and Ukraine, I want to let you know that I'm praying for those folks in Ukraine, especially those in the Christian community, as well as Ukraine's president, who's actually Jewish. And I've got a couple ladies that I know of Ukrainian heritage that I keep in my prayers daily. And one of them happens to be my neighbor, who's discouraged and disenchanted by the whole scenario. And I don't know how much media she feeds on, but speaking for myself, I keep my mental health balance and try not to overload on all the media with all its hype, but it's just enough information to know how to cope and balance that off with my Christian spiritual belief systems by tuning into Christian programming and especially Christian music, and keeping myself occupied with my Bible too.
Yeah, you know, Brad, faith is one of the things that I think lots of us turn to, especially when things seem overwhelming the way they do right now. I'm really happy to hear that that's a place of solace for you. Dr. Harrison, this idea of faith as a way of trying to cope, and I think trying to accept that that we don't have much control over some of these things. I mean, I think that feeling of helplessness is one of the real drivers of the sadness that I think people have right now. You know, faith is one of the ways that we do kind of cope with that feeling of helplessness.
I think faith is a fascinating topic here, because there are really two ways that faith can help you with coping. One of the ways is within research psychology, there's been work on what's been called mortality salience. So when you remind people that life is short and that they will die one day, research shows that people, the appeal of a sort of omnipotent, charismatic leader goes up. And so you can imagine that the appeal of if you believe in God, and especially a benevolent God, that divine figure will protect you. That's incredibly reassuring. But the other way I think faith factors in, and we don't pay much attention, is through healing from trauma. I teach a class called Media and the Body, and we're covering a section on media and trauma. And there's a lot of research coming out now about the importance of the body in healing from trauma, and especially the power of collective movement. So if you look at churches and temples and sort of how they run things, people are reading together, they're singing together, they may even, you know, there may be a choir dancing. They're, you know, I was raised Catholic, and everybody does the same movements together. You know, you stand up, you kneel, et cetera. And we shouldn't underestimate the power of that in helping people heal from trauma. Trauma makes you feel completely alone and hopeless. And when you are synchronizing your movement with other people, you feel like you're part of something bigger. So even if it's not driven by research, I think, you know, for millennia, spiritual collectives have understood that synchronized movement helps people heal.
Yeah. Again, Brad, really appreciate the call and your comments. Let's go to Phyllis in Warren. Phyllis, what's on your mind?
Hi, Stephen. I'm trying to give a break to the news all the time. What we do is a routine every night. We watch some of the news, local and national and international, and then we wait for 7 o'clock. We can't wait, can't get here fast enough because it's Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. And that's the best thing to take your mind off to another place and also getting out. I am blind, unfortunately, now and can't see the possibility and the budding and everything. But I do enjoy the smell and the breeze and the warm sun.
Wow. No, that's a great reminder, Phyllis, that you know, it's all of our senses that we can use to appreciate things like the outdoors. But I love this idea of watching Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy every night. It is kind of an escape. Dr. Harrison, you talked about Wordle, which of course is another kind of escape that is fun. And the communal nature of those things, I think, is one of the things that makes them so powerful. No one's wordling by themselves, it seems. They're wordling right, and sharing it with other people who are interested.
Exactly. And it's a small act of achievement. Same with, you know, Wheel of Fortune, right? You're trying to solve that little puzzle, or Jeopardy. You're trying to solve a puzzle. So it gives you this moment, this tiny feeling of achievement in a world that makes you feel otherwise completely helpless. And this is where, you know, returning to healing from trauma, I would recommend, Fred Rogers of Mr. Robert Rogers' Neighborhood famously said, look for the helpers. Mm-hmm. For children, that's great. I think for adults, one of the ways to feel more in control is to be a helper where you can. So you have this feeling of constructing or achieving something. So that little feeling of achievement with Wordle or you know, Wheel of Fortune, you can expand that a little bit by being a helper, doing something constructive or creating anything, artistic or not. Creative problem solving is fine too. But life can have us feeling these days like we're hiding behind a rock waiting for the crossfire to stop. Wow. And if you're not careful, you can end up hiding behind that rock long, long, long after it's safe to come out. And so one of the ways you can start, you know, peeking out from behind that rock again and reclaiming the life that you want is to do something with your mind, with your hands, with your body that re-engages your connection with the world. And it's like you're starting to rebuild a new life that might have different priorities, but you're going to be working toward those priorities.
Yeah. Okay, Dr. Kristen Harrison, great to have you here with us on Detroit Today. Thanks so much for joining. All right, that is going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow because Broadway is back and the wonderful musical Hamilton is going to return to Detroit later this year. I'm going to talk with Hamilton producer and Metro Detroiter Jeffrey Seller about the return of live theater and his enormous impact on Broadway over the past 2 decades. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.